Hallelujah. Grab your Bibles and stay standing with me. Grab your Bibles. Numbers 21. But before we go to Numbers 21, join me in Jeremiah chapter 8. Numbers 21, Jeremiah 8. Let me start in Jeremiah 8. Thank you. Reads this way. God saying, behold, I will send serpents among you, vipers which cannot be charmed. Here it is. And they will bite you. Says who? Says who? Says who? Look at verse 22. So then the question comes from Jeremiah, is there no medicine, or King James, no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why is there no healing or no recovery for the wounds of my people? Now when I read this verse, I feel the same thing Jeremiah does, questioning God. Where's the medicine? Where's the physician? Where's the healing and the recovery? If you sent the snakes, then where's the healing? Now I've asked this every time I preach about serpents, but just as a show of hands, who just hates snakes? I guess any kind of reptile, but especially snakes. I hate them, okay? Like if I told somebody I hit a plastic one under your seat right now, you might like just leave service. I didn't do that. I promise I didn't, but okay, I hate snakes. Is that Bez back there? I'm sorry, I can't see who's back there. Give me that video real quick, sir. Give me that video. Anyone feel like you're just resting in the presence of God? Anyone ever feel this way? If the enemy tries to come and disrupt your rest, oh, just wait. Because this is what you need to do to the devil. Wait, come on, somebody. This is how you need to treat the devil. Come on. Oh, no, don't sit there and take it. Don't lay there and take it. Oh, my Lord. It's not over yet. Oh, Jesus. There we go. Woo! Somebody say, victory is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Ooh, good Lord. So let me just start with this. Let me firstly say, happy St. Paddy's Day. Is everyone out there? And especially to my to those who are actually of Irish descent, okay? And I think your ginger hair might give that away, but my grandmother was a redhead as well. And so you look at Reverend Devin's beard and Dylan's beard, you'll see there's our Irish, okay, it's in us. And I guess I got all the German, so pray for me, y'all. But yeah, but something about both Irish and German, they love beer. Come on, pray for us, somebody, all right? And when I talk to most people about St. Paddy's Day, we all claim to know at least two things about St. Patrick, right? Number one, we claim that he was Irish. Number two, we claim that he drove all the snakes out of Ireland. We all claim, or most people claim to know that. Here's what I want you to know. We're actually wrong on both counts. Patrick was not born in Ireland. He was born in Scotland. And then as a teenager, he was kidnapped by Irish pirates who then sold him into slavery into Ireland. And 6 years later, he escaped to France and finally made it back home to Scotland, where as he was growing up, you'd figure, I want nothing to do with Ireland. But he felt a calling from God and said, for your glory, I guess I'll do anything. Became a Catholic priest and went back to Ireland, not to drive out the snakes, but the serpents, those pagan devils, those lying evil spirits that were possessing and driving the religion of Ireland. Aren't you glad that somebody in your life realized, God, for your glory, I'll do anything. And God used them as a witness to point you towards the Father. What I love about this story is Patrick goes back and he preaches the liberating gospel of Jesus Christ to a people who were bound by paganism and heathen practices. A foreign-born slave is now known as the patron saint of the Irish people. And again, he didn't kick out any literal snakes. He kicked out those pagan priests, those demonic heathen practices of the Irish people. So in honor of St. Patrick today, listen to me. We're not going to do any drinking. At least not right now. But we are going to do some delivering. So that maybe you won't need that alcohol a little later on today. Because you've been set for... Come on, somebody. Don't kiss me. I'm not Irish. Help me kick some serpents. anybody in this place today just need God to kick some serpents out of your family? Say yes. You need God to kick some serpents out of your finances. Say yes. You need God to kick some serpents out of your business. Say yes. We need God to kick some serpents out of our mind and our life and our attitude. Get them out of my community. Get them out of my city. If you believe God is in the business of kicking some things out that don't need to be there, lift your voice and shout yes. Shout yes. Shout yes. Shout yes. Amen. All right. All right. Numbers 21, verse 4. And if you are doing the daily Bible reading with us, and even if you're not, please jump on now. Join us now, okay? But in the daily reading, we just passed Numbers 21 pretty recently. And in Numbers 21, here's how it reads, verse 4. It says, talk about the nation of Israel. They journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. Now check this out. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. How many of us are on a journey right now? We're following God. We're being obedient to God. We're doing what He commanded. Somewhere along the way, we've felt discouraged. Our soul has been grieved. How much longer, Lord? When am I going to see the fulfillment of your promise? And the people, verse 5, spoke against Moses and against God. And they questioned, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no food and no water, and our souls loathe this worthless bread or the manna. I will never understand why Christians complain. Wait, this is for the Jewish people. Did you have it better in Egypt? Did you complain against Pharaoh when he was beating you and abusing you and using you and making you work all day long and stealing from you and not just treating you as you were owned by him? You were his property. Did you complain as much then as you do with the God who delivered you out of the hand of slavery and has a promised land for you? And while you're wandering through the wilderness where it's arid and dry, He's providing daily food for you, manna for you. He's making sure you have what you need. In fact, if you read what the Bible says, it says for 40 years, their clothes never even wore out. Come on, somebody. I've been wearing this suit for 7 years. I bet you it's going to wear out. God provided in such a way. Why were they complaining constantly? Woo! Come on, the Irish don't complain, Pastor. Amen. All right. We just drink and fight. Hallelujah. So I look at this and I can't help but wonder, how long have we been journeyed? And are we no longer rejoicing? Has our rejoicing dissolved into complaining and bickering and questioning God and our leader? And so the Lord, verse 6, that's why I read Jeremiah 8 first, verse 6. So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people. Did we lose it? Okay, it's not there. Okay. The Lord sent poisonous, I'll just read it to you. The Lord, He said, I will send those vipers. I will send those snakes that cannot be, they will come and they will bite you. So verse 6 is, the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many were bitten and died. Then the people came back to Moses, the one that they were just complaining against, and cried out, we have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take away the snakes. So Moses prayed for the people. Pastor Vidi, I am amazed by the leadership of this man named Moses. I forgot until we went back over Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and eventually here Deuteronomy. I forgot how amazing of a man and a leader Moses was. Because can I tell you, as a leader, I can relate. I know what it is to be undermined by people underneath you. I know what it is to be misconstrued and misunderstood by what you said. I know what it is to be used and abused by people. Kareem, I know what it is to pour my life out and give everything I can to help somebody, and they'll leave without even a text message goodbye. I know what it is. I understand as a leader what Moses felt like. But here's what catches me. Because I don't believe everybody's called to be a leader. Because not everybody can do what Moses did. He was just slandered and accused and attacked. And how does Moses respond? He prayed for the people. I can imagine. My bad, Moses. My bad. I had your name in my mouth. And I was calling you out of your name, Moses. My bad. Would you pray for me? My bad, Moses. I know we've caused you nothing but headaches and problems along the way. You were just fine out there in the wilderness, being a shepherd over sheep. You were content and fine at 80 years old, Moses, just doing your thing. And I know you didn't want to do this. You try to tell God you didn't want to do this. You try to make excuses for yourself. You're a stutterer. You're incapable. You're too old. You're not qualified. And here God still chose you anyway. My bad, Moses. I know you didn't want to do this job. That's why not everybody can be a leader. Because can you turn around and pray for the same people that just called you out your name? Can you turn around and stand in the gap for the people who stood up against you? So Moses starts praying to get rid of the snakes. And look at verse 8. Because God tells Moses, don't pray to get rid of them. Make a snake instead. The Lord told him, make a fiery snake and attach it to a pole. All who are bitten will live. Someone say live. If they simply look at it. Someone say look. They will live if they simply look. So Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. And anyone who was bitten by a snake could look. Someone say look. And at the bronze snake, and they would live. Somebody say live. Listen, if you've looked to Jesus, and you have found abundant life. Can you say amen? If you've looked at Jesus and he's brought you out of darkness into light, can you say amen? If you've looked at Jesus and you found life, life, and life more abundantly, can you say amen? And would you simply look at your neighbor right now and just give them my subject for today? Tell them there's snakes on a pole. You might as well look up and live. You might want to say in your Sam Jackson voice, there's snakes on a pole. Look up and live. What's in your wallet? Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bez, can you give me verse 8 again? I don't want us to overlook this. God tells Moses, he says, look, form a snake out of bronze. Okay. Any crafty people in the room today? Any crafty people? Can you form a snake out of bronze, crafty people? I mean, if you really wanted to, probably, right? Yeah. Okay. And Liz, to do that, in order to take that metal and craft something out of it, you can't just wish it into existence. You probably couldn't just grab a pair of scissors and cut it into existence. And forgive me, I don't know what kind of crafts you necessarily could do. I know you can handle some crafts with kids, but... But you're not gonna need. You don't get glue, Elmer's glue, and right, and a pencil, and some erasers, and some confetti, to make a snake out of bronze. In order to do that, what you have to do is take the metal, and beat it. Okay. So if I'm gonna make this snake out of bronze, I have to beat the bronze into the shape of a snake. I believe this is what Isaiah meant, Tommy, when he said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. So Moses lifts up a snake that was beaten so that everyone who was bitten can look on that which was beaten and live. I feel like somebody's going to get this on the way home today. I said, he took the snake that was beaten, lifted it up so everyone could look. Everyone that was bitten could look on what was beaten and live. Now, I propose this question every time I preach this text because I just don't understand. God, why choose a snake. Of all the things you could have hung on that pole, hang an angel. I mean, you know, us Catholics in the room, we've got them everywhere in our house. Hang an angel. Hang something a little more religious in its symbolism. If you need to, go hang a lion or a lamb. Something that feels more symbolic of Scripture. Why hang a snake on that pole? And the answer is always the same every time I read this text. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He exists outside of time. So what we see as a linear thing, God sees it as a whole. And what he's doing is he's shining light back on the original problem. The problem of sin and a snake in the garden. In the Garden of Eden, what we see is Satan didn't bite Eve in her body. Satan bit Eve in her beliefs. And this is how he deceived her, by biting what she believed. In Numbers 21, what we see here is the people have been snake bitten, but not before they're snake bitten in their bodies, they were snake bitten in their brain and what they believed. And if you notice anything about Satan, the enemy never attacks you in order to beat you. He attacks what you believe in order to beat you. Can I say it again? I know he's coming against you, but he isn't just coming against you. He's coming against what you believe. Because if he can attack what you believe and prevail over what you believe, that's how he can beat you in life. That's why when the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed, the serpent will slither in and contradict that and say something like, you're not going to be healed. You're going to stay sick and eventually you're going to die. When the Bible says stuff like, God created the male and female. Come on, 2024, don't get quiet on me. I know what society says, but Scripture says God created us male and female. So the serpent will slither in and say, well, God messed up on you. You might as well go discover your true self and find out who. That didn't come from God. That came from a snake. When God says something like this to you, he says, you are forgiven and you are free. The enemy will contradict that and say, you're not free. No, I know what you did last night. You're a fake. You're a phony. When the Bible tells us God so loved us, God loves us. We are his own special possession. We are his children. The snake will show up and counter and say, you're not saved. You're a sinner and you don't deserve the love of God. And I'm just wondering, in 2024, if there are any Christians who no longer believe because our minds have been bitten. Is Miss Latoya in the room? Is she here? Latoya's there? What I love about Latoya is she's a Pentecostal girl like me. Right? I'm a Pentecostal boy. Let me clarify. He made us male and female. Let me clarify. She's a Pentecostal girl. I'm a Pentecostal boy. Us Pentecostals, we still believe in praising. What bit your mind to make you stand there with your arms folded while somebody else is dancing and shouting? I promise you, heaven is going to blow that mind of yours when you get there. And no one's sitting there with their arms folded, legs crossed, looking at their watch, scrolling on their phone, waiting for what's next. Heaven is going to be a perpetual praise party. You better get ready here on earth. But what happens when my mind gets bitten? I no longer believe in praising. I no longer believe in shouting. Oh, Lord, here they go again. Pastor's going to make us all shout. Oh, come on, ladies and gentlemen. If the Bears actually turn it around this year with that first pick because they got rid of Justin Fields, you know what's going to happen. You're not, Kareem, they ain't going to sit there quiet. If we actually start winning, you're going to start shouting and praising and dancing. But I don't do it in church because I no longer believe it's appropriate, necessary. Ooh. We no longer believe in tithing. Because that's old covenant. And that's why God can't protect what you have now.
because you won't honor his word. You were bitten in your belief. And here comes the problem with why we don't even attend church every Sunday anymore. Because at one time I believed it was necessary for me and my house to serve the Lord. And now it's I'll come when I need something, when it's convenient, when I don't have anything else to do, when the Bears aren't playing. Thank God I've got to at least September, Kareem. Praise the Lord. We don't believe when the Bible says, love your enemies. We don't believe anymore when the Bible says, forgive as you have been forgiven. We don't believe when the Bible says, give and it will come back to you, because our beliefs have been bitten. We don't believe when the Bible says, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, is roaming like a lion. We no longer believe when the Bible says, don't put on some of the armor, put on the full armor of God. We no longer believe when the Bible says, don't just pray when you have a need, pray in the spirit at all times with all kinds of prayer. We don't believe because our beliefs have been bitten. We don't believe, Sister Nancy, in the end, when the end of the book says, surely I come quickly, and I respond with, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We don't believe he's coming back because our beliefs have been bitten. Dare I say, we no longer believe what the Bible calls sin. Because in 2024, society says, do whatever you want. Live however you want. And if they don't accept you, there's something wrong with them, not something wrong with you. And I came to remind you, you were born in sin. From your mama's womb, you were conceived in it. You came out a sinner. And the only thing that makes it anything right with you is not how you were born, but if you've been born again into the family of God. Woo! Thank Pastor on his political soapbox today. No, I'm on my biblical one. Because I want to see God's people in 2024 living blessed. And the only way that can happen is when we learn to do it God's way. I'll revisit this again, but I told you at the beginning of service, I'll tell you at the end of service. This is a season. This Easter season, I believe God is going to release blessings and break curses. I believe it. And one of the curses that we're dealing with today is how many people's minds have been bitten by the deception of a snake. This is why Paul says in the last days, 1 Timothy 4, he says, but the Spirit expressly states, here it is, in latter times, the last days, check this out, some will depart am I reading that right? Wait. People who have been walking with God, people who have been serving God, people who come to church and lift their hands and dance and sweat and shout amen, some will depart from the faith because they will be giving heed to seducing spirits. Ooh. Your belief was bitten. And now the venom has spread. We've given heed to now what the Bible calls doctrine. I know that the verse says teaching, but it's the doctrine of demons. And if you're taking notes, I need you to write this down. Satan knows he doesn't have to destroy me. All he has to do is get in my head. And you will destroy you. This is why the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we have to destroy every argument and every lofty opinion that tries to raise itself against the knowledge of God. That means, who do I know God to be? Does God want me saying these things? Then I probably shouldn't say it. Does God want me acting this way? Then I probably shouldn't act this way. Does God want me going there and hanging with them and doing that? If I know God doesn't, then those are things I just simply say, I'm going to destroy these opinions and arguments that try to get me to have my own way and my own will. But it literally has exalted itself against who I know God to be. And what I do is I take every thought captive.
If Satan knows he doesn't have to do much other than just get in your head and he will destroy you, then somebody help me preach my very first point today. Someone say this with me. Say, don't believe the snakes. Someone say amen. I destroy every argument when I refuse to believe the serpent. I'm not going to buy into your lie. Michael, how can I reach for the prize of the high calling when I'm spending all my time slithering down here with the serpents? If God has called me higher, then I need to elevate my thinking and my passion and my desire and my time in the Word and elevate my time in prayer. Because here's what I believe. I believe more than ever the enemy is declaring war against the saints of God. He is doing everything he can to seduce us so that some of us will depart from the faith. But can I just see an army that's ready to declare war in these last days and just simply let every snake know, you're done poisoning my life. You're done poisoning my mind. You're done poisoning my marriage. I'm done with you poisoning my business. I'm done with you poisoning my money. I'm done with you poisoning my anointing. I'm done with your poisoning my vision. I'm done with the poison in my family. I came to declare war against the devil and say what Jesus said in Luke 10. He has given me authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Let somebody today say this. Today is the day. Satan is no longer in my head. The serpent is under my feet. Shout yes. Shout yes. Shout yes. This is the day we get him out of your head and under your feet. Someone said that's where he belongs anyway. Come on, amen. All right, I got all worked up. Let me calm down. With my Irish tie, let me calm down. Bez, can you give me verse 7 again? Verse 7 again. The people come to Moses and they say, Moses, pray for us. We've messed up. We've sinned. Please ask God to get rid of the snakes. Now, I can't help but feeling, I know the best thing for God to do here, right? Get rid of the snakes. But God doesn't do that. Tommy, this is shocking to me. He doesn't get rid of the snakes. He just tells them, every time you get bitten, if I know anything about the enemy, he's always trying to keep you with your head down, feeling discouraged and defeated and overwhelmed. But I came to say in these last days, it's time to look up because redemption is drawing nigh. Salvation is drawing near. So if I was God, I'd get rid of the snakes. Have you ever prayed to God, Lord, would you get those snakes out of my life? God, Comet is nothing but a snake. Get it out of my life. God, my boss is a little slithery and slimy. Have you ever prayed, God, get them out of my life? That addiction has stolen from me. Get it out of my life. Have you ever prayed, Lord, just I've had this pain long enough. Would you remove this thorn and get it out of my life? And while you're busy, they're praying for relief. The enemy is busy convincing you there is no balm in Gilead. Because God didn't take away the bill. And God didn't take away the boss. And God didn't take away the addiction. And God didn't take away the pain. There must not be a physician any longer. There must be no balm in Gilead. There must be no hope for recovery. So let my next point serve as a reminder to you today. There is a cure. Just look up to the cross. Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse. I just got to let you know, sometimes when you hear somebody go, like all of a sudden, that's not their brain, that's their spirit. Okay. Something just hit in their spirit. They're like, whoa.
Christ redeemed us from the curse of sin, of judgment, of death, of the law. The law was only good for one thing, to point out how much of a sinner I am. Christ redeems me from that curse of constantly feeling like a sinner 24/7. And here's what he did. He became a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.
All right, I'm going to preach this for just a moment, so let me get my voice for this. I came to declare every curse is broken because the cure for every curse is Christ Jesus.
I need just a little bit of help here. Somebody declare with me, every curse is broken. Now I need somebody to get a fight in your spirit. Every generational curse is broken. Every hereditary curse is broken. Come on, get a war in your belly today. I came to say every financial curse is broken because I know the cure. Every mental curse of depression and anxiety, every mental disorder that's a curse is broken because Christ is the cure. And I came to say every curse over my life, over my family, over my future, it's all broken because I know the cure. Someone holler, Christ is the cure. Christ is the cure. Christ Jesus is my cure.
All right, now sit down, because I got to explain myself. This is what happens in one of them hooping churches. Well, okay, now sit down. Calm down.
I don't just want you to get excited out of your emotion. I want your mind to rejoice in this truth. And here's this truth. Just like Moses lifted up the serpent, and the serpent became a savior. So the savior was lifted up and became a serpent.
Derek, did Pastor just call Jesus a snake?
Wait, what? I thought he was the lily of the valley. I thought he was the bright and morning star. Yeah. I thought he was the lion of the tribe of Judah. I thought he was the lamb that taken away the sin of the world.
Did Pastor just call Jesus a snake?
So I'm clear. I would never associate the bronze serpent with the Son of Man if the Son of Man hadn't said it about himself. You know John 3:16, but have you ever read 3:14? Just as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Look, Jesus is telling all of us, everyone who looks on the beaten snake and believes will recover from the bitten snake and live. I don't care what snake has bitten you. I don't care what poison has infected you. I don't even care what venom has caused you to swell. Even with your swollen self, can you just declare, because of Jesus, I will recover. I will recover. Come on, somebody declare it with your swollen parts. I will recover. I've made some mistakes, but I will recover. I got myself into some messes, but I will will recover. I've been abused, but I will recover. I've been betrayed, but I will recover. If you've been through divorce, declare, I will recover. If you're feeling bad about yourself today, right now, just let the enemy know, I will recover. Somebody say yes. It's the promise, because I believe in not just any physician. I know the great physician. And can I find 50 people just to shout in the face of the devil today? I will recover. Come on and put your hands together and let the enemy know. You're not going to keep me down. I will recover. You're not going to keep me depressed. I will recover. I'm not going to stay in this sin much longer. I will recover. Say amen. All right. I didn't mean to get all preachy. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no medicine in that place where we need healing the most? Is there no physician there? And I love what Jesus says to Nicodemus. If you don't realize John chapter 3, what we just read, that is an exchange between a religious man and the Savior of mankind. And when I believe Nicodemus, a religious figure, says, is there no physician? The great physician says, yes. And he didn't come for the healthy. He came for the sick. Can I tell you today that the Son of Man is not your good luck charm? Can I tell you today the Son of Man is not your home remedy? Can I tell you today the Son of Man is not your four-leaf clover? Can I tell you the Son of Man is not your pot of gold under the rainbow? Can I tell you that the Son of Man is your cure? Christ Jesus is your cure. Wow, all those Irish symbolisms and references Pastor was making. I don't want us to get caught up in the state of superstition. We start treating Jesus like he's some kind of rabbit's foot, some good luck charm. Eat some Lucky Charms and forget the good luck charms. And just recognize what Jesus is. He's the cure to every curse. And my final point here, and I need you to listen carefully. That clock back there, if you can see, it says 10:53. I know that's not right. Listen to me carefully. Jesus never committed sin. Jesus became sin. So here's my third and final point. Therefore, the cure has been made from the cause. As we near Good Friday, and if you don't know this already, we have a Good Friday service, and I encourage you, come and be a part of commemorating, remembering, and even celebrating Christ's last hours before he laid down his life for all of us. I'm just thankful for that. I mean, if you can't show up on Good Friday, just thankful he laid down his life so you could live. But as we close in on Good Friday, this verse always comes to my mind. It's from Isaiah 53, verse 6. It says, all of us, like sheep. Someone say, like sheep. Okay, just like sheep. We have all strayed away. We have all left God's path to follow our own. Come on, don't get all super religious on me right now. I followed my own path. Aren't you grateful that God got us off our path and got us back on his? Yeah. Amen. Amen. We've all followed our own path. But check this out. In spite of what we did, look at what God did. And yet the Lord laid on him. We're talking about the Messiah, Jesus. God laid on Jesus the sins of us all. You know what that means? That means every time I look up to the cross, I'm looking and seeing a Savior. But when God looked down at the cross, he was seeing a sinner. This is the revelation Paul caught in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He said, God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that in Jesus we might become something I couldn't become on my own. My righteousness is like filthy rags, Isaiah said. So that in Christ I might become the righteousness of God. Here's the point I'm trying to make, okay? The cure is made from the cause. What I mean is this: Jesus never lied, but he became a liar for me. Jesus never stole anything, but he became a thief for me. Jesus never harmed anybody, but he became violence and hatred and racism for me. Jesus never sexually crossed or wronged anybody, but he became every kind of sexual perversion for me. Jesus never murdered. Jesus never raped. Jesus never cheated. Jesus never lied. Jesus never spoke falsely about anyone. Jesus never envied or was jealous. Jesus never abused anybody, but on the cross, he took on every curse of sin so that today you and I can receive every blessing from God. Don't sit there silent when you think about all that God has done for you through Christ Jesus. You've got to raise your voice and say, thank you, Lord. You became what I was. So I could become what you were. And here's what I know. I've shared this with you so many times. Were we able to get that last image by chance? Green, were we able to get that last image? If not, don't worry about it. It's okay. Oh, that's same. Yeah, that's St. Patrick. No, we're not that one. Sorry. It's all good. I've talked about this before, and I wanted to give you the visual, but it's probably best I don't. I've always asked the question about why the snake? Because God, you sent fiery snakes, poisonous snakes, to bite the people. And the venom caused them to die. So I've talked about this many times. There it is. In order to treat snake bites, what you have to do is milk the venom, the poisonous venom, from the snake. I know some of you are getting creeped out right now. Oh, Lord. Checking under your chair for that fake snake I said was there. I'm not going to sleep in any hammock ever, Pastor. Thanks a lot. When they milk the venom, what they do is they take that venom and inject it in small doses into a specific animal, because the blood of that animal will then produce antibodies to combat the venom. And then they take those antibodies and they're used to produce antivenin, which is then used to treat the people who have been bitten by a snake. This ain't deep, because I've said it before. You heard me preach it 6 months ago. What is the animal that they take the poison from the snake and inject it into? It's the blood of a lamb that combats the poison of the serpent and produces healing for those who were bitten. How do I overcome my adversary, that old serpent, the devil? I'll tell you, Revelation 12:11, and they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Somebody, throw your hands together and rejoice. I've been bitten, but I've got the blood that beats the bite every time. I said, I've got blood that beats the bite every time. The blood of the Lamb beats the bite every time. Stand your feet with me. Stand your feet with me. Stand your feet with me. Because this is what I want you to know. Most of you in this room, hear me. Most of you in this room, you don't look at your past properly. You don't look at your past correctly. What I mean is this. all we typically see when we look at our past is our hurt and our loss and our rejection and our struggles and our childhood trauma and the snake bites. When we look at the past, that's what we see, but you're not seeing your past correctly. Because while you're sitting there and you're suffering and you're crying and you're agonizing, what you do is you start believing, I guess I deserve that. And I'll always deserve that. Because of what I went through, I must be worthless. Because of how I was treated, I guess I'll always be treated. I'll never be worthy. I'll never be fit for anything. But this is why I believe you fail to see your past properly. Because if you saw your past the way God sees it, you would see that God wasn't trying to kill you. Otherwise, you'd already be dead. God wasn't trying to kill you in your past. God was making a cure out of you. I need somebody who's been delivered from depression to declare, God's going to use me to deliver somebody else from the hand of depression. I need somebody who's seen the chains of addiction broken off your life to say, God, use me for your glory so somebody else can be set free. I need to hear from somebody who was sexually bound by all sorts of perversion, but now you're living in the freedom that comes from walking with Christ. What do you mean, Pastor? Give me a scripture. Absolutely. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comforts. Somebody holler, all comforts. Check it out, verse 4. Who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the same comfort we ourselves have received from God. You better hear me, your spirit, today. The blood of Jesus not only saved us, the blood of Jesus helped me build an immunity for survivability. I will continue to recover. I will survive. Has a snake ever bitten you? Well, you are here today to declare, I've been bitten, but I'm still here. I'm a survivor. Let me hear from the survivors in the house today. I've been bitten, but I'm still here. I'm still here. And God uses snake-bitten people because we are the cure. We are the cure to somebody else's need for comfort. And in this place today, I don't know who I'm talking to, but the devil told somebody here today, God can never use you for his glory. And I just want to remind you, the devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. In fact, can I find just about 24 people in 2024 to give God 24 seconds of some crazy praise that just simply says, I'm the serum to somebody's venom. I'm the cure to somebody's curse. Woo! Throw up your hands with me all over this place. Throw up your hands. Bring your way down. I got to make sure you hear me. Throw up your hands with me. If you have survived divorce, you are a serum. If you have survived abuse, you are a serum. If you have survived violence, you are a serum. If you have survived failure, you are a serum. If you have survived drugs and alcohol addiction, you are a serum. If you have survived prison, you are a serum. If you have survived grief, you are a serum. If you have survived death, you are a serum. And the reason you have survived every curse is so that God can get all the glory from every blessing he's about to bring into your life this year. Can I get an amen? With our hands raised, Ephesians 1:3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Give me that last verse if we got it. For Ephesians 1:3, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. Ooh. Yeah, Ephesians 1:3, we are united with Christ. All praise goes to God. Because in this season of resurrection, I believe we're not just going to see every curse broken. We're going to see every blessing released over our lives. If you believe this, say amen.